Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, well, we're going to be covering everything from metaphysics to the state of Texas. Now, I said everything, right? Well, we're not going to cover everything, obviously. But my guest, Manny English, is a man. He's PhD. He's actually, you could call him Dr. Manny. But I really have enjoyed my chance to go through his material because we're going to be talking about two of his publications. One is An Imaginative Existence, and the other, as again, is about Texas. How is it that a man would write about one theme, which is very metaphysical, and then another that is sort of a political flavor? Well, the gentleman is eclectic. The gentleman has a great deal of diversity in his own life and experience, and he's going to be sharing some of that with us today. Manny English. Actually, it's Dr. Manuel English. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's my pleasure being here. I appreciate your asking me to be on.
Well, it's a delight. Now, Manny, how did you get that nickname?
Actually, I remember first time being called that in 1954 when another Marine would say, "There's Manny." And so I picked it up from there. So
it's stuck with you ever since.
It has.
Well, I think it just fits you. It really, really does. All right, Manny, and you don't mind my calling you Manny, do you?
Not at all, Donna, please.
All right. I'd like for my guests to know a little bit more about you, because your background, you mentioned being in the Marines, but you also have been an executive. You're retired from that position right now, and you have been a professor. You were born in East Texas, and you were the son of sharecropping parents. And you were working in cotton and corn fields along with your family. And the only time you attended school was when there wasn't any work. And you ended up, your family was migrant. I mean, they would move wherever there was work. And this has been something I think a lot of people don't realize it was necessary for a lot of families, because that was the only way they could generate income. Now, you enlisted at the age of 16, into the Marine Corps. I want to know how you managed that.
Well, a little help from friends, as they say. I had one of my buddies signed for my father and one signed for my mother. Then I went to my mother and told her what had happened. She said, well, okay, that was it. So that was the kickoff.
And then you had a near-death experience where you came down with Korean malaria. Now, malaria, I'm well aware of, but is there a specific kind in Korea? Because that was life-changing for you.
It was. It was the Korean vivax, what they call a vivax malaria. And when I returned, they thought I had a upper respiratory infection. And finally, they took a spot of blood and said, and then looked at my temperature, which was almost 106. And they said, let's just get this person down to the local Camp Pendleton Hospital there at the Camp Pendleton Marine Corps. And they rushed me down, and a couple of nurses took all my clothes off, a little different understanding then, and bathed me with alcohol and brought my temperature down. And that was then for the next 40 days I was in the hospital. So that was an interesting experience and something that don't particular or would not appreciate going through again, but it was a life-changing thing that where I realized that, you know, that life is pretty important.
And then you went on, you left the Army in 64, and you went on to get a degree after enlisting in the Air Force. The Air Force assisted you to do that. So you actually have been a Marine, a soldier, and an airman. You have been in three different modalities in the military. You have been a teacher. You have published a lot of articles. And your book, that you put out on the imaginative existence actually won an award. And the reason you wrote it is because of all these various experiences that you've gone through. And you say it's about causation, manifestation, and what you call the finality of being. You basically went through your own journey of asking the who, what, where, when, and why of life's existence. When you started this, Manny, did you ever imagine that you would be putting it into a book form?
No, I really didn't. It was a very contemplative sessions that I sort of put myself through. And in doing this, I generally went to a room or a hotel room or someplace and sort of isolated myself. And at late evening hours or early morning hours, I began to sort of put these onto my computer, and then, you know, I would modify them and change them. I kept really working them, and then the organization, getting them all organized, my ideas organized, was very difficult as well, because they're, as you probably noticed, they're somewhat complex, and I wanted to make sure there was as much linkage as possible between the ideas. So, but it was an interesting process and a reflection, and I think as I look back, I probably could not do it again, because I put a lot of energy into the book.
You really am doing this. Was you were on a journey of your own? I would say it was a spiritual journey of your own, because you were questioning a lot of modalities in life, which I think everybody should do. I really think it's always a good idea to question. And you have a chapter called the three-dimensional mind, and you call it the individual mind, the collective mind, and the universal mind. And I know that the kahunas of Hawaii, in their culture, they would say there was the three aspects of the self. Today, we use the term mind, body, spirit, three aspects of the self. When you came into this understanding of the three-dimensional mind, you had a perception that sort of liberated you. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, first thing I tried to do, Donna, was to figure out exactly what I thought mind is. And I came up with a explanation of what I believe mind is. And I think mind is probably the most important concept of human existence, because I call mind, it's all a composite of energy. Mind is energy. And I make a pretty strong point that it was God who created this initial energy, this composite of energy, or this loose abundance of energy out there that began to form and consolidate itself into composites. I know that's a little difficult, but and then mind, over the years, over a period of evolution, has become more and more perfected. The individual mind and the mind at the same time was forming bits and pieces of collective mind, which is the larger, the next step. And I make a point that when we go through our evolution and when we reach the final stage, which is universal mind, that mind and God are synonymous. Mm-hmm. That this is the end. This is where eternity begins. This ultimate finality is what life and what human existence has been about, is the process of evolving into actualizing God. This is one of my basic concepts, that all of these things that we build, all of these things we pull together, all the things that we imagine are done for a particular reason. There are bits and pieces of these, or elements, or atoms, or neutrons that add to this building process, or this shifting between individual mind and to collective mind. And I mentioned that earlier that that mind created the human body, and for the purposes of helping mind transport itself through the various generations and generations and generations in order to reach its point. But at some point, again, in our evolution, mind will no longer need this human body, and it will go to mind only. And that will be at the collective phase when just minds exist. And then the last step is when the collective mind becomes one mind, and that one mind is God. And that's what it's been about all the time, is that God created this energy and created all of these things that's happening from the universe all the way through that we visualize with our individual mind. And it exists, as I point out in my book, only in our mind, because when we die, there is no continuity of that mind as a human connection anyway. So that's everything that we visualize, everything that we see is a mind developed concept internally. A mind is not brain. You know, it's somewhat puzzling to me when people, if I have a mind to, you know, I have made my mind up. But very seldom do you hear a definition of mind. What is mind? And to me, mind is a composite of energy, just like you and I are chatting on the radio energy. The radio wave is energy that transmits and contains information. Mm-hmm. I try to make a point that mind is a composite of energy that's closely connected to the electromagnetic brain that follows mind's instructions to activate the body whenever necessary. Now, I have to remind the listeners that these are imaginative thoughts. I don't run around and try to live out my life that way, but it's certainly worthwhile, I believe, to think about mind as a principal feature of our existence, and that nothing exists outside the mind. If we don't know about it, it doesn't exist. And and another point I'd like to make is that they just awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine, and if you look at the Nobel Prizes that are awarded, they're all awarded on observation of energy, observation of physical matter, observation of the universe, the astrophysics, looking at the different shiftings of the stars and creating and finding all sorts of things out there. But this all, and the physicians are all looking at how internal biological changes occur, and they all win big prizes off of this year. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't go back to the causation. You know, what caused all this? What is the finality of all this? And there's the reasons and all of this is much larger, perhaps, and much more simpler, I think, than a lot of these Nobel Prize people, a lot of professors, and a lot of people who like to think they have the answer. And I'm not saying I have the answer, but I have a particular way of looking at it. Well, and so basically, that's where the foundation of what I tried to put together.
Something, because I've been in the work of mind for most of my life, that in my observation, we have like a cosmic pool, and I'm just using different words than you have used. They're saying the same thing, but it's expressed a little differently. And every once in a while, there will be someone that gets what I call a cosmic download. And when they get that download, it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with educational experience. And you bring that out in the book. There, when someone has access to information and it comes together and they're able to put it out there, there have been so many people throughout recorded history that have said, I do not know where this came from. I just know that I got it and I'm using it. And I think that is one of the things that your book, An Imaginative Existence, brings out. It brings out the fact that as we expand our thinking, as we expand our observational capacity, as we expand and are willing to grow and develop as people, as individuals, it affects the collective thinking as well. And in that way, we can motivate and promote change. This has been demonstrated so many times in a positive way as well as in a negative way, and everything in between. And I really think your book is very thought-provoking. And because of that, it makes for a very good read. And it's something that allows people to incorporate a different type of perception. They can argue with what you see or what you feel or what you're expressing, which I think is good. Because any time we challenge something, we're going to, in some way or another, open ourselves up to a new level of learning. It may not be at that level of moment, but it will be at some time. And I think that that's what's so provocative. And that leads me into your second book. And that is on Texas. And when I got your material, I said, here is a man who has written a book about metaphysics. Very nicely done, very well thought out. And then I went into Texas and I said, woohoo, this is really cool, because it shows an aspect of your own thinking. And you did this book along with Major General Chris Adams of the U.S. Air Force. He is retired also. And I thought how fascinating this is and how fortunate we are in today's world, where one doesn't have to fit into a box. And you approached this subject, Texas, a free nation under God. I'd like to know how you and Chris Adams got together on this and decided, we're going to put this novel, now this is a novel, together. This is sort of a story that says, what if this had occurred? What if? Tell me how you and Chris Adams got together and decided to put this together. And why did you decide to put this book together? Because it's causing quite a stir.
Well, let me start with the why first. I think every Texan, including myself, when one is growing up in Texas, there's one thing that you learn pretty quickly is the role that the Alamo plays, the history of the Alamo plays in our lives there. Mm-hmm. And also the idea that a Texan, you're always taught that a Texan is different, that there's something different about a Texan. There's no, very difficult to explain sometimes, but the Texans are different. And I guess I'm referring to native Texans, in which General Adams and myself, we are native Texans, even though we left and joined the military. We learned that Texas, or the Texas indoctrination, I suppose I should say, at a very young age there, and it stays with you. And I had distant relatives who died at the Alamo, died at the famous Goliad Massacre, and served along with General Sam Houston when he captured Santa Ana near Houston, what is modern-day Houston. So I'm pretty well linked to the history as my ancestors came there in the 1820s and 1830s. So that was the foundation, and that sort of stayed with me until I returned from England after I finished my PhD there in 1972, and I made a brief outline of, hey, it's time for Texas. Texas is changing. Maybe it's time to go back and have a reconstruction or start all over again or get the old Texas again. So I made an outline. I sat on that outline for about 30-some-odd years, and finally I decided after my Imaginative Existence book, so I have some time now, so I'd like to concentrate on Texas. So I did a little search of military writers, and I found Major General Chris Adams, who has become a very, very close friend of mine, and who I would say is an outstanding writer. And he has published, I think, 7 or 8 books, if not more. And so I finally tracked him down in Texas. I said, you know, I have a book in mind. Is there a chance that we can meet and chat? He said, yes. So we met, we chat. I gave him an overview of what I had in mind. He picked up on it just almost instantly. We met again the next day. He had a brief outline already. He was so eager to get involved in this as well. So that started Texas. We started building characters, and we started building the plans and the plots. And as you say, it's a fictional thing, but a lot of people are saying, why can't this be real? You know, it's because mm-hmm. they are the Texas overall is a very conservative state, and they have some real concerns about what's going on back in Washington D.C. area, in particular all the changes that have occurred in the last several years. So that was some of the foundation that we used to get Texas began to start Texas, and also to finish and come up with a plot. Our military training, I think, also paid off. And my chief exec background, also with the plans and programs and the command centers and things like this that we had to create, that all played into it as well. So we hope that we've been told it's a good read, and the bad thing about it is fictional, not real. So that's mm-hmm. it.
Well, I think that it is so real because of the details that you have in the book, that when someone starts reading it, they feel like they're living in the now. They're living in a reality. And so many films that are being put out today, actually for the last, I'd say, 5 years, even going back as far as 10 years, there's been a consistent theme regarding corruption, abuse of power. And there have been programs, everything from Avatar in recent years to conspiracy movies, The Bourne Identity. I mean, there's just so many that have come out. And when I observe this, I say, all right, through the magic of film, there is an insistence of a need to pay attention to what is happening. And I think that's part of the shakeup that is going on today. And that's one of the many points of information that is shared here. And it's a wake-up call. It's time to, you might say, clean house. It's like finding a building that has been allowed to develop a black mold. What do? You have to strip it out. You have to clean it up. You have to make sure that you apply the proper materials so that you don't have a repeat. And then finally, once the job is done, then you know that it's been done well and that you don't have that challenge anymore. And I think when it comes to, and I usually don't get into politics on my show, but it seems like in history, even in the United States history, we've had to go through cleanups. That's how I'll describe it. Whether it's been through major police departments or different organizations, whatever, we have to be awakened to the fact that we just can't assume that things are going to go along as usual. And that's part of the power of your book that you and Chris Adams put together, Texas, A Free Nation Under God. But you give so much history about Texas that I just found was incredible, because one of the points is that Texas as a state could become totally isolated, so to speak, and by golly, it could survive. It has an infrastructure. I had no idea about the agricultural capacity. I thought water was a big lack in the state of Texas. Boy, these are facts that you bring out. You bring out a lot of facts about the state in this book that I really was unaware of.
Yes, Texas, if it was a country right now, it would be the, out of all the countries existing, it would be number 41. And it does have the capacity to self-exist. At least I think a lot of people believe that, in particular Texans, because, of course, there would be counter-arguments saying, well, you count on the federal government. But Texas is it also has the right to divide itself into five states if you know, I suppose that would take some voting process there in Texas to do that, and probably some approval at this point anyway from the federal side. But, yeah, Texas is a very strong economic, one of the most successful states during this economic slowdown. So there is, so it has a lot going for it. And it, and many people say, you know, let's do it, because Texas could survive without without the idea of association with the rest of the United States. We'll have to see what happens. I'm not going to project that.
I don't want to give away the story, but the facts here that you give intrigue me a great deal, because oil, the state provides 85% of the gasoline requirements for the entire United States. 85%. That is a huge number. Why in the world are we going to the Middle East? And then you talk about 50% of the U.S. defense industry is located in Texas. Texas leads the nation in producing computer systems, parts, chips, and communications. They haven't sent everything overseas, thank heaven. And I was unaware that you had three of the largest ports in the United States, and three of the 10 largest cities are in the U.S. are in Texas, and medical care, you're self-sufficient in food production, and you say you have more tillable land. I have this vision of Texas as being mostly desert. Boy, am I wrong.
Well, it's not. I was born in East Texas. That's a fertile area all the way through to you Get out to Big Springs and that area. It gets a little drier out there, but the irrigation concepts, you know, have certainly aided in perhaps doing many, many things that were not done when I was growing up in East Texas. But it's a very, very fertile state overall, and we can cotton and corn and potatoes, as they say. There are just a lot of things going on down there. There are a lot of grapes, a lot of wine making going on in that part of the country. So we have a very diversified production base there. So it's definitely there. If politicians and others and the people decide they want to make that move, but we'll see if how much antagonism or the antagonism grows and is what will be the outcome.
Well, I can recall hearing about a month ago a statement by someone that had been that was being interviewed on a talk show, and he was saying, Texas, we may want to just separate from what we know as the United States. I know Alaska has a constitution that they review. The public reviews it along with the politicians every so many years to make sure that things are kept up to date. And I found that very interesting. But in Texas history, you said the people of Texas were tricked into adopting the U.S. Constitution on December 29, 1845, and that the 10th Congress of the United States induced fraudulent action. What were they?
Well, this Sam Houston, who was the first president of Texas, and he had the inclination that he would like Texas to join the Union at that time. So there was some manipulation going on between Sam Houston and Washington and Congress at that time that many people thought were somewhat shady. But and Sam Houston was against the secession also during the Civil War. So I think it's pretty well linked to him. There's never been anything quite definite that where Texas did this or did that, but there certainly was a little bit of an attitude at that time that we need to not to explain everything in full detail here, what it all means, and so therefore it's most likely will pass and will become a member of the Union. But as you know, Donna, nothing is static. Nothing is permanent now. So when you talk about Alaska, you talk about some of the other states as well as Texas. You know, if things get to the point where people are totally or the majority are unhappy or dissatisfied with the central government, maybe there's maybe some of them will consider the alternative. And I'm sure others are even now. They're looking at this. There are a few who would think about this, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. It's, again, the diversity of your publications I found just extremely intriguing. I love the research on Texas. It gave me a whole different picture. I've known Texans have always been fiercely independent people, and being one of those myself, even though I'm a California gal originally.
Well, we'll let you move to Texas if it happens.
Okay. I'll fit right in.
Sure, you would.
But anyway, Dr. Manuel English Manny, it's been an absolute delight having you as a guest on the show. For those of you listening, I'd love for you to go to his website, find out more about his material, because it really will make you think. DrMannyEnglish.com. And Manny is M-A-N-N-Y, and Dr. is D-R. DrMannyEnglish.com. Manny, thanks ever so much for being my guest today, and keep up the writing.
Donna, thank you so much. It was my pleasure, and I really enjoyed spending time with you.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to come. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime, or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. If you want to give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, then let me tell you what I perceive. And, of course, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is important to you. 888-627-6008. Quickly, I want to mention, for those of you that are listening from Alaska, I'm going to be in Fairbanks and Anchorage next week. I'll be flying up, and I will be in Fairbanks the 15th through the 17th, and I will be in Anchorage the 17th through the 21st. So if you want to be in touch with me, want to have some time with me privately, all you need to do is call my office, 253-582-5604. Also, you can go to my website, look at my newsletter, and you'll find the information on how to contact me locally up in Fairbanks and Anchorage if you're so inclined to do that. Again, Anchorage and Fairbanks, Alaska. I know I'm reversing it here. I'll be in Fairbanks first, but just call and let me know if you would like to meet with me. There's also information about radio show. Tomorrow, we have got a most delightful lady, Jill Mattson. She's a leading sound healing expert. Sound has been used for healing for millennia. Jill has the most amazing CDs, and we're going to be playing excerpts from her CDs and chatting with her tomorrow. She's a musician as well. She has written, she's had programs, classes, all kinds of things on sound healing, and this is going to be the healing flower symphonies that are just amazing, and it goes along with the Bach flower remedies. So we're going to have a delightful time tomorrow, and I invite you to tell your friends if that's something they're interested in, and let's share that time together. Quickly, I want to give you a little bit. Thank you. I know we've got a caller. Before I go to the caller, I want to mention something about imports coming into the country. 4.8 million. That's a huge number to wrap your mind around. Now, that is what has been considered hazardous items stopped by federal authorities from entering the country during the latest year of reporting. Now, the Consumer Product Safety Commission said children's products accounted for more than half of the total, or 2.7 million units. Why were they kept from coming into the country? Well, lead paint, lead in the product. Why is this so important? Children put this stuff in their mouths, or it evaporates. They breathe it in. So the inspection that this 4.8 million of potentially hazardous items were rejected, they were from the fiscal year of October 2011 to September 2012. There were over 18,000 products screened. Those items that were stopped included cigarettes, types of lighters, fireworks, bicycle helmets, hair dryers, electric aquarium equipment, and more. Amazing stuff. So it's a big job, and it's important for us to be aware as the consumers. We can make a difference with how we spend our money. Be wise, be aware, and just know that there are some people out there concerned that are trying to keep a lot of this from entering the country. Donna Sebo here. We've got a caller on the line. I want to welcome you to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from, please?
Hi, my name's Rebecca, and I'm calling in from San Jose.
Oh, I love San Jose. Rebecca, you have got a lot on your platter, so to speak. What I'm looking at is of tremendous interest to me because I am finding you, it's as if you're split in two. There's a mirror image of you, a dual image here. And I'm watching one side of you being very pragmatic, taking care of responsibilities, and then there's this other side of you that's daydreaming. And you feel guilty when you do that. You feel guilty if you waste time as you perceive it as a waste. And I want you to know you need that time to be able to close down. Sometimes maybe watching Disney cartoons would do it for you. Other times it might just be sitting and looking out of a window or just watching a squirrel running up and down the tree. You need to have that time so that your creative self can breathe. And you're feeling sort of stuck at the moment, but it's good you are stuck because if you allow this creative side of yourself to breathe, your efficient, logical, responsible self is going to be even more efficient, logical, and responsible, if that's possible. It's going to be even more so. Your time management is going to be better. But you need to get away from the cell phone, the computer, the television, the radio even. Just shut it all down and go sit out someplace or be in an environment that just allows you to be in your own space of creativity. I would strongly encourage you to set a regular time aside to do artwork, to do journaling. You could do meditation. But you need to be able to slow down the thinking mechanics so those mechanics shift into what I call a flow. And you'll be out of this stuck positioning within 2 to 3 months. This isn't permanent. But it is a gift to you if you will use it to really address some things that are very important to you because 2014 is going to be a gangbuster year. You're just going to have an incredible year in 2014. You're going to be working like crazy, but you're going to enjoy it. But I want you to think about establishing some new practices in your life where you give to yourself and make it okay that the quiet time, what you might consider wasted time, that you allow that to happen. Maybe you take a day off a week. But do that for yourself, because that's going to help you get through this stuck period. What would you like to ask me, Rebecca?
I'd like to ask you about my little dog. He's been having some problems, and I put him on some holistic medicine, and I wonder if I'm going down the right path with him.
What's the name of your dog?
Comet.
All right. And what kind of breed is Comet?
He's a little toy fox terrier.
All right. What you have here is a combination of things going on. You have a food allergy. You have a blockage. It's not a serious blockage, but a slight blockage in the bowel area. And you also have a digestive situation with this dog. So you're giving the animal some holistic products. But I don't think they're addressing the root cause here. I would encourage you to take your dog to a vet and keep a diary or write out specifically exactly what this little person is going through so that the vet has an idea of what's going on. But I'm seeing his Comet skin being itchy. I am looking at something like a discharge that's coming out of one eye. I am looking at a very difficult time trying to go to the bathroom. So I think you've got a combination of things that are going on, the digestive, the elimination, and the diet. So you may find that you're going to need to become aware of some things that can go into this little person's food program. And Comet wants to eat all the time. Comet is a muncher and doesn't want a whole bunch, but man, when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And I don't think Comet is assimilating nutrition. So I believe that there's going to be some nutritional supplementation that you're going to have to add to the regimen. And I don't think it has to be real expensive. I don't think you have to spend $1,000 a month on this. I think it could be so simple as adding a certain kind of fat into the diet. I think it is going to encapsulate variables here that you just are going to be able to do some research on. But I would get to a vet that supports your holistic positioning about wanting to use nutrition for wellness. But I think there may be, this is really going to sound weird to you, but you may need to add something like psyllium seed to help the natural functions of the bowel to operate. Because I don't know that Comet drinks as much water as Comet should. So you need something that's going to give lubrication, just like, you know, people take Metamucil. That's psyllium seed. That's all it is.
Right. Okay, no, I don't think that's weird at all. So, okay.
But,
that sounds great.
But how old is Comet?
He just turned 12.
Yes, this doesn't surprise me with him then, at his age. My goodness. I would just say he could be with you until he's about 16. So you need to look at it. This is a very good time to start looking at making some shifts with him. And I really think that he'll be with you for a long time.
Okay, so, but it's important to go to a holistic vet, I guess.
You want a vet. Vets are very well educated, but you want someone that's willing to work with you. There may be something in the way of medication, but I really think a lot of this has to do with diet. And it could be that your dog does not work well with wheat or, you know, it could be something else. It could be certain meat products the dog shouldn't have. But I really think something fibrous needs to be added into the food program so that it helps the bowel work better.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna. And I also want to say your guest that talked about Texas. Oh, my gosh, I just thought it was a barren wasteland. Had a few, but just had pumps going with for oil. I had no idea everything else.
Me either.
So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome.
I just thought it was so cool. I mean, this is what I love about doing this show. I get educated, and I'm able to share it with you. Who knew that Texas had all of this going for it?
Okay, Donna.
Take care, my dear.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye. This is Donna Siebel. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We've got another caller on the line. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, I'm Mary, and I'm calling from Melbourne, Georgia, near Atlanta.
Melbourne, Georgia. Oh, you have such beautiful country there. But I'll tell you what, you can keep your copperheads and your moccasins. I really don't want them and the other bugs. But I think you have some of those beautiful country around there. I'm teasing you. Okay, and your first name again, dear?
It's Meryl, and it's actually, I'm in Lilburn. It sounds like Melbourne, but it's right near Stone Mountain or Atlanta area.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I've been in Stone Mountain. Oh, what history is there? It is a joy. What a beautiful area. I really mean that, too. Just beautiful. Okay, Meryl, let's take a look at you, and let's see what's going on. Number one, I want you to really take a good look at your library. And the reason I say take a good look at your library, you're going to be increasing it. And it's very important that you recognize that your ongoing education is going to ensure both your financial future as well as a career direction you really want to get into. Now, I'm looking at you being challenged by someone. You are in a social environment that you are very well suited to be in, even though it might not be your everyday experience. It seems to have something to do with a fundraiser. There's a lot of what I call big wigs, I'll use that terminology, that are attending this event, and you have something to do with the coordination of this activity, et cetera. And you're saying to yourself, people are bringing up topics I really don't have very much knowledge or experience with it. Don't worry about that. Ask questions. Let other people tell you what they know. However, you may find a lot of these people are misinformed. You have a natural ability for excellent communication. You'd make a superb negotiator. You may not feel that way at this time, but I am looking at you having an opportunity to be in a social environment that allows you to bring people together from different environments, and it allows you to integrate with them, and you're taking little bits and pieces. You're a wonderful observer of people, and you are becoming more refined yourself. Do not isolate yourself from social interaction. There's been a part of you, because you feel like you have not been socially indoctrinated to a certain degree. Don't worry about that. Volunteer for duty. Volunteer to assist with some major events or environments that allow you to culturally become more comfortable and to become more aware of yourself. Because I think you're going to find that your education is ongoing. Developing your communication skills to a more refined level is going to serve you extremely well, inasmuch as I'm seeing you dealing with various cultural environments as well. And I'm seeing you becoming aware of protocols and now how to effectively hostess environments graciously, beautifully, and at the same time becoming recognized for your skills. You're not always going to live in the area that you're in. You're going to find yourself going north, but it's not going to be for a few years yet. So please do evaluate what you need to start adding to your library so that you have resources of information that you can access when you need them. Also, you're going to find that in the next 2 years, your entire lifestyle is just changing dramatically. It's changing because you know it must change. And there are certain people that have been close to you for years that have depended upon you. They're going to be upset with that. And they may want to sabotage it. It's not because they're mean and ornery and ugly. Not that at all. They are ignorant of the bigger picture that you're going to want to create for yourself. Move on. You cannot stay with a foot in each world. It isn't going to work. And I think it will be that causes you eventually to relocate. But you're going to have some understanding after a few years. People may resent the fact that you're going to step away from their environment because they wanted you as a security in their world. You have to stand on your own 2 feet, and you're going to do that. You're very, very functionally intelligent and able to do that. Mariel, will you stay with me? We've got to take a break for a moment.
Sure.
All right, my dear. I'll come back, and I'll take your question. This is Donna Sebo, 888-627-6008. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added, These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Don't forget, tomorrow we have got wonderful, wonderful gal Jill Matson, and we're going to be talking about the healing power of sound. Let's go back to Meryl. Meryl, this is Donna. Thank you for being so patient and waiting. What's your question for me?
I have been having back pain and foot pain now for years since an injury, and I'm wondering if you have any insight about a new path I might take for healing this.
Well, what I'm getting is, and these are just pictures in my mind, what I am looking at is something is a little bit, you've got so many bones in your feet, and all you need is one little tiny something out of alignment. Now, what I would like for you to consider is to stop being so anxious about this and understand your body is trying to work with getting things all together. And one of the reasons that this injury is taking longer is that there are other things with your wellness that you need to be looking at. One is nutrition. Two is the fact that you need to understand that this is only temporary. And I know how frustrating it is when we have something that just absolutely slows us down, shuts us down so that we can't function. And so part of what's going on here, there's a multitude of things, but there is a number of sections in the foot that are needing what I feel is like a realignment. And so the body has to take care of it in the best way that it knows how. And you need to be able to be patient with this, because it's going to take a full year for the nerves, the muscles, the alignment of the bones, all of this to come into harmony. So what I'm looking at is, first of all, very, very gentle massage, very, very gentle massage. And then working with someone that maybe has an understanding of acupuncture and also foot reflexology. That could really help. But you're not going to be able to force this to move into a position of wholeness really fast. So if you know you're not to put a lot of pressure, or you've got to wear a boot or whatever it is that you have to go through, just say, okay, I am not going to stress this part of the body any more than I have to, but you need some supportive action that goes along with it. Also, look at incorporating greens into your diet. And you're in the South, so you know about kale, you know about mustard greens, you know about the cabbage, you know about all of this stuff. You need to put that in. And also, I'd recommend something like spirulina or your algae. You know, that spirulina is an algae. But you need to have this so that the minerals are present for the foot, the heat, muscles, the bones, everything to come together. So these are the points of information that I'm getting. But I think you're going to have a sensitivity because of this injury for as long as 2 years. But that's not a bad thing. Work with it. Don't get frustrated with it. Work with it. And I think you're going to be able to feel a big difference by March the 3rd.
Wonderful.
All right, my dear. Does that help you?
It does help me. I'm wondering, do you think the greens and that kind of massage too for the back, because I have upper back and low back stuff, is it kind of all related with the same issues with the foot?
Yes, it's all related. And what you want to do, don't just take my word for it. I want you to start reading. I want you to really start investigating various points of information. And I want you to trust yourself. But one of the biggest things we women forget is that we need the minerals. And, oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. I'm sorry, dear. I'm out of time. I'm going to have to go shortly. But do think about what I've said.
I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm so delighted you called in today. This is Donna Sebo. Wow, what an hour, and I'm so pleased that you've been able to share time out of your very busy day with me. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be here same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You don't ever turn over your mind, your brain, your right of choice to anybody else. That's you. That belongs to you. Take pride in it. Feel good about yourself. Hey, I'm delighted that you're keeping company with me. I enjoy having you. Won't you join me again tomorrow? Same time, same place. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.